views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You know that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success of nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wells right now.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio. We are here on Transformation Talk Radio with Kate Adams, part two. If you missed us last week, we got together April 1st and we talked about part one, soap operas and animated movies equal real life lessons. I'm so excited to be back. And we are going to make sure that everybody has their mug. I know, Kate, you have yours because I've seen it and I love it. And our listeners who are driving, do not show us your mug. So stay on the road. Everybody who's at home, grab your mug. Okay, this is, April is Stress Awareness Month. Okay, so I decided to take a little bit of a different twist. I wanted to do something fun. I wanted to de-stress you a little bit. You know, stress is really important in wellness. That's what protects us, really. Stress is, there's good stress and bad stress. There's weddings, divorces. I don't know why I go weddings and divorces all the time, but so anyways, I want to introduce my guest, Kate Adams, and you guys can listen to last week's how we found each other, and I want to give you a quick intro to her if this is your first time in. So Kate graduated from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with a BA in journalism and mass communication. This is the great part. She spent 8 years as the assistant casting director at the Emmy-winning As the World Turns before giving her popular TED Talk, Four Larger Than Life Lessons from Soap Operas, which has 1.5 and building million after last week views. So she works for Walmart and she speaks to audiences all over the world. I'm thrilled to have her here. And we're going to talk about lessons 3 and 4 from her TED Talk. We covered 1 and 2 last week. And then I'm going to talk about 5 lessons from Inside Out, animated movie. So Kate, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. We left him with a cliffhanger. It was such a good cliffhanger. I can't remember what it was. Oh, we were talking about colors. Comparison. Yeah. Beautiful. So, hi.
Context is incredibly important in a story. That is what we were talking about.
It is so true. So true. It's so true. What are the twists? So, what is it? You've got the plot and the storyline and the content, then the twist and the cliffhanger and the synopsis. You got so many things. So much verbiage I don't know anything about. So talk to me. So you've got your life lessons you're going to share with soap operas. Then I'm going to go into the 5 emotions from Inside Out of joy and sadness, fear, disgust, and anger. So take it away. If you could give us a quick overview of 1 and 2, the lessons 1 and 2. Surrender is not an option. I remember that.
It stuck with you. I'm glad you hear it.
Yes, it did. Go ahead.
So yeah, really quickly, the first two lessons we discussed last week, surrender is not an option. It's all about bravery and persistence and willingness to continue the fight, even in the most dire of circumstances. And the second lesson is sacrifice your ego. And it's all about the power of vulnerability and our ability to create connection with other people. And that's how we actually achieve those moments of joy in our life. And because I believe all of these lessons build on one another and circle back and kind of move in between, is lesson 3, which is evolution is real. And if you've ever watched a soap opera ever, you've likely encountered this situation. You turn on the television you see an unfamiliar face walk by, and then you hear like an announcer say, the role of Paul Ryan is now being played by Roger Howard. And you're like, what? That's Paul Ryan? He looks nothing like, you know, the last dude.
We got a new guy in town.
Ryan.
Yeah.
And so this was all about my take on recasting, especially as a former employee of the As the World Turns casting department. Recasting was a very real part of our jobs. And so what you did was really kind of peel back, what's the core of this character? What is essential to the character? And then how can they evolve beyond this? Because the stories, particularly on a soap opera where you have head writers in for a few years and then like somebody else rotates into the seat. So you see the characters move in these different directions. I liken it to, you know, like moving like bumblebees. But it's the life lesson for us is while we may not switch faces in our own lives,
right,
we can choose who we're going to be tomorrow. We have the same ability to evolve and adapt based on our circumstances, based on our priorities. And our priorities today may not be the same priorities they were 5 years ago. And it's okay to let those old priorities go. It's not a failure. It's growing beyond who you were and what you knew at that time. And the other awesome thing, which I didn't talk about in my TED talk because I only had 12 minutes, was that on soaps, sometimes they recast with an old actor. So it's like, it was this face, and then it became this other face, but now it's back to the old face, even though we told you that he had plastic surgery to reconstruct his face. But just forget we told you that, because
can't we do that in real life?
that path leads to
that's true.
You're really trying to like go through multiple iterations of your face, but it's freeing from a personal evolution perspective of, I want to go try this thing. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. That's not the end. It doesn't have to be the end. It's okay to step outside of our comfort zone, or what I prefer even more is expand our comfort zone and really grow it rather than, you know, stepping outside of who you are. So that's lesson three, evolution is possible. And that really segues into those moments when you don't have the choice to evolve and adapt, where sometimes life just like smacks you in the face. And, that's resurrection is possible. And this is, the thing that people, especially people who have never seen soaps, really love, like, well, how can you watch something where somebody's coming back from the dead? And it's like, have you never watched Game of Thrones? I don't know. But the character that I used to tell the resurrection is possible story is a character from Days of Our Lives, Stefano DiMera, who died like a dozen different ways, at least over 30 years. And who, unfortunately, the gentleman who played him actually passed away, I think the week after my TED talk went live on TED.com. But he was an institution. Like, it was so well known that his character just was, he's the Rasputin of soaps, but he was called the Phoenix. And so it's finding that moment, that part of ourselves where we can, you know, recreate ourselves from ash and how, and figure out how we're going to fly again. So yeah, resurrection is possible. cheers to that.
Underpinning
all of these lessons is this idea that it's never too late to change your story. That until that moment when you truly breathe your last breath,
that's right,
anything is possible, because we all face, like every one of us faces a moment that looks like an ending, and we can choose to make that moment a beginning.
Well, and it's interesting because many of us feel like we've died and had to come back from, be resurrected from the death. I mean, just like you said, I mean, when I worked for corporate America, and that's a tough gig. Sometimes you make things bigger than they need to be. And you're like, seriously, you look back and no one was dying. I mean, you felt like you were such a big player in the game, when really it was like, come on, Peggy. Nobody even knew if you showed up or not. But it's like, it's such a big deal. And the whole story.
Hey, yeah. Guess what? You're not that special.
I know. Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, for you guys listening, you know I've always said that you're not that special, because we all have crap. We all do. Nobody's that special. And then when Kate and I first met, she was like, well, you know, you're not that special. Somehow that came up. And then she had a Nike shirt on, and I thought, gosh, I always tell my clients to just do it. And there were like 10 things where we would just kind of connecting. It was fun. Okay. So we're going to loop back around on some more of the lessons, but I was just thinking too, with the, to tie it into kind of wellness, is that I was thinking about, you know, diets die, all diets die. And people think that, oh my gosh, you know, I am never going to be, you know, Weight Watchers was fantastic, and now I'm going to try it again 13 years later and it's not working again. I'm a loser. Or, you know, my metabolism is dead. You know, everybody thinks that it's, you know, when they're 50, it's died. But when it comes to, you know, when it comes to emotions, when I think about joy, so you guys, joy in the character of Inside Out, if you separate all the emotions, they cannot exist alone. They just simply can't. They have to, the lesson here is that we have to acknowledge them, bring them together, and make them work, respect them. They have a responsibility. And so if you think about joy, she just finds all the positive. And that's what my sons think. They get so sick and tired of me. One time I remember them saying to me, you know, Mom, is there ever a time that you don't ride unicorns and slide down rainbows, like frosting off cupcakes? Literally one of them said that. And I said, you know, it's the approach I choose. I've been through some crappy stuff, but it's nobody else's crap. And I choose how to look at it that way. I'm not denying it. I'm still feeling it. It's just, I can either create that energy or not. And so that's what I do. This is what I do. Anyways, so joy just chooses to see all the positive. So if you guys have seen the movie Sadness, the little blue gal who talks like this, she sees all of the negative. She can't even see any positive. Polar opposites. Who are your polar opposites? Let's see. Erica Kane and I'm trying to think, who would be like the joy and the sadness of soap operas? Is anyone kind of like the constant negative?
They just evolve too much
to label them, don't they?
Yeah, because I think you couldn't sustain that beyond a 90-minute movie. I think probably
point taken. Point, yeah, and you should maybe you shouldn't in life, right? And so then we have fear.
You have your own private struggles with
right. Like, yeah. Literally, I do. Is that what you're saying? No.
Yeah, you. Yeah, you me, in particular.
Peggy. Yeah, we all do.
It's not, you're not that special. It's all of us. We all have our struggles.
See, we're just more transparent about it. So then we have fear, and fear, you guys, we have to have fear. Fear is what, you know, saves us sometimes. Fear is what maybe keeps us from doing something we shouldn't do, but it can also absolutely paralyze us. And then we have disgust, and disgust is sometimes, I don't know, there's disgust with broccoli, but, you know, we have to try broccoli eventually. And then there's anger. And so anger is the explosive, combustive. We all know what anger looks like in this movie. It's red and it just goes crazy. So I just really, with the animated lessons, when I was thinking about real life lessons with animated movies, what I loved about it and why I actually created my my virtual series was that we just go like this. And especially with the clients I work with, I tend to work with either extremely overeaters or under eaters, and the commonality that I can find in them is control, trying to control the food or control the moment, the comfort food, the restriction or the bringing in. And so really bringing to them that, you know, recognize the emotion that's driving you to or from food, to or from exercise, to or from that coworker, and try to figure out if an emotion is driving a certain behavior and get through it, figure out how to get through it. So yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a commonality, but a big difference. After 90 minutes, I can turn mine off and find another movie to kind of get through. But
well, I think the key part is that, you know, at about 82 minutes, joy realizes the importance of sadness.
That's right. Yeah. They become such a team. That's the great part of it. I mean, she's dragging her along and she's stepping out of the circle. And I mean, hopefully you guys watch the TED Talk and watch Inside Out so you can kind of relate to this. But I think the point of this whole reason that we got together was to accept that we're all, honestly, we're all not that special. And the more transparent, I'm transparent as a coach. I try to be as authentic as possible. I have no secrets. I will share everything. I struggle to exercise, to take care of myself, to not work too much, to make sure I eat. I will be very transparent. I think the more transparent we are, and that we are faced with obstacles, the quicker we get through them. And, you know, you're pretty darn transparent. I mean, you're from New Jersey. I'm from New England, so we work really hard.
Well, being from Jersey, I don't know that it, like, your disgust is apparent and transparent, but I don't know that it makes you, you know, really embrace authenticity of the moment, because I think there's a lot of tough guy kind of elements to it, or tough gal. It was really something that I came to in my 30s, and there were a few things that happened that were instrumental in me making that shift in my life, because I had been such a fear-based person, such an insecure person. You know, I grew up, when I was in sixth grade, my doctor told me I was obese and I had to go on a special diet. And so there were these voices in my head from, you know, schoolmates that stayed in my head for a really long time, until my therapist in New York on the Upper West Side, like, it can't get more stereotypical, was like, "No, Kate, you have to go to your 10-year high school reunion." And I was like, "I don't want to go. Like, those people are the worst." Mm-hmm. And right. It was confronting my fears, because I made them bigger. I made it all so much bigger than it really was. And they're very nice people. And so it was suddenly this moment of, it was an apparition. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, people said crappy things to me in 1985, but it's about time for me to let that go.
Right.
And not to find myself based on what size pants I'm wearing, mm-hmm. how much I weigh that day, whether my makeup is perfect, my hair is going through an in-between stage. It's kind of awkward, but, you know, I just kind of put it all out there. But the things that happened to me in my 30s that helped me turn that corner, and I'm not perfect at it. There are still moments where, like, I put on my armor today. So I had a really important meeting this morning with the principal of my son's school, because my son is being bullied. And so I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be buttoned up and very professional today, and I'm going to lay out exactly all the things that I expect to have happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I put on my armor, which means, like, I have a dress on and a face full of makeup and there's product in my hair. But that's what I do when I'm going into battle, when I feel mm-hmm. like I need to gather the troops and we're marching in. But beyond that, 30s, I started having kids in my 30s, mm-hmm. and realizing that I can birth an almost 10-pound baby and still function, like, walk after that. Like, right. I can do a lot of stuff. Like, right. That was pretty difficult.
Right.
So just the physical appreciation of my body after that. And then that's the first time I lost a job. And I didn't lose the job because of anything I did. I lost the job because CBS canceled As the World Turns. But it was still, there was still this nagging voice in my head of, you failed. You didn't think too far, like, far enough in advance. Or just hearing, my mom said, you should leave. You should have left by now. And I was like, no, you know what? This is my family. And I'm going to wait until the very last day. I have to, I'm going to see this through. But then when you're in the midst of 9 months of unemployment and literally no one wants to talk to you,
right,
you start thinking, well, that was stupid. Mm-hmm. I should have done something differently. And mm-hmm. there's no way to say, had I left earlier, it would have made any difference in my job search, because I was still making a huge pivot in my life. Right. I was going from casting and entertainment in New York to trying to figure out what the next chapter was. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, if you can't visualize how you make that leap, you can't tell somebody else.
Right, exactly.
How they should visualize it.
Right.
And that was what was so challenging for me. So I really had to kind of dig deep and scrape down to who am I? What do I want? And that's where I realized that I'm a storyteller. And as long as part of what I'm doing, even if it's only 10% of my job, as long as part of what I'm doing is this thing that I love and that I believe I'm good at, then I can make all the other crap that goes with it palatable.
Right.
But I need to just have that kernel of something that helps me connect to the, you know, the person I am and have been to the person that I want to become.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how I got there. That was a lot. So
it was a great story. No, we're tied in, of course. I could listen to you all day. I was just when we were talking today and we tie it into how we can give some suggestions to our listeners on storytelling. And you know, for me, I'm always saying to everybody, draw a line in the sand, step over it, and get over it. You know, back here, every single journey tells us a story. Every decision you made, every strategy you tried, every tool you tried, every diet, every person you hung out with, every boot camp, everything that you've done has gotten you right where you are supposed to be right now. And we can use all of those things moving forward. We also have this gorgeous toolbox that we can pull things out that maybe didn't work 10 years ago, but they're amazing right now, and we can dust them off and move forward with a new story. Maybe it's the industry or the lane that I'm in with my clients, but when I get 40 or 50 or 60 year old clients, I spend a lot of time trying to fix chapters that we've already read that I'm trying to move past. When I work with 20 year olds, it's gorgeous because we're so proactive. And so what would be some of your suggestions, and from a wellness standpoint in my industry, that we can talk about rewriting a story?
So one of the first things that comes to mind is you mentioned this analysis paralysis mm-hmm. aspect a few minutes ago, and there are life lessons from soap operas that I'm thinking of that were not in my TED talk. And one of them is jump in front of the bullet. So in soaps, you see it there's a car careening down the street and this couple is trying to cross the street. And, you know, he notices the car coming and he pushes his girlfriend out of the way. Or somebody's there's a group of people being held at gunpoint and one person jumps in front of the bullet right as the gun is fired. And it's not about heroics to me. Right. It's about knowing who you are and what you care about. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there is this element of, my husband calls me worst case scenario. So I...
Oh my gosh. Your sadness in the movie.
No. It's just that, here is what I want.
Yeah.
What are the potential obstacles in my way? And it's not about, I'll never reach it because these obstacles are in my way. It's like, okay, if this happens, then here's what I'm going to do about it. And if this happens, this is how I'm going to kick that's butt. And if this happens, knowing what your through line is, what it is, the story that you're trying to tell, essentially, knowing your credo, mm-hmm. who am I? Yeah. Am I something that happened 20 years ago? Am I something that happens tomorrow? And
that's awesome.
There have been a few things in my life that I continue to go back and ruminate on. And I find myself being sucked back into this vortex of why didn't I make this other choice? And I can't mm-hmm. change it.
That's right.
And so it's been a process for me of trying to A, time box it, but then also depersonalize it.
I love that part, when you
were 22 and you were in a newsroom and you learned about this airplane crash that happened 6 minutes before your newscast started, and you chose not to lead your newscast with that because you only had one line of information. That was the choice you made. And the next day, you come into work and you get called into the news director's office. not that this happened to me, although it happened to me after, I think it was Swiss Air crash flight 911 off the coast of Nova Scotia, 21 years ago, maybe, still carrying it with me today. Oh. But like, my actions didn't change what was happening. For me, it was, and for my viewers, it very likely was not life or death. Very likely, no one in my viewing area knew anyone on that flight. But yet, 21 years later, I still carry with me the weight of that decision. So it's been a process of depersonalizing it. And just because I didn't, you know, I was 22, I didn't understand the import of it. I didn't understand, well, I can just tee up the newscast and then quickly segue and say, stay tuned to NBC News and blah, blah, blah. But we go through life, we gather our learnings, we carry them with us, and then we tend to use those learnings to judge ourselves retroactively.
And that's exactly what we do.
And it's, there's an element of compassion that we need to have. And this goes into another one of my my soap opera comparisons, which is around evil twins. Like, yeah, perfection is overrated. And when you see evil twins, there's always a compliment to them, which means somebody is entirely too good. Like, they are boring. You always want to watch the evil person more because they're just more interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah, like the good twin is the one you want to watch your kids or bake your cookies for bake sale. She's not the one you want to hang out with a glass of wine.
That's right.
You want to hang out with, you know, like the fun, like the person with a naughty twinkle in their eye. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I've overshared. But just they're more compelling characters because they are more real.
That's right.
None of us are perfect or good.
We and all so have evil twins.
Constant striving for perfection, this curation of our social media, this filtering of all our photos.
You guys, do you know how many parts we're going to have together? We literally are done our second part. We are done, Kate.
Wow.
I'm like saying, I'm ready to say thank you before we're going to have to go. And oh my gosh, you've helped me a ton though. So getting over the perfection is really huge. You guys, Kate, this has been a bucket list. Please, I want you to come back sometime. Seriously, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for part two. And you guys, we have part one, if you haven't seen it, which was on April 1st, go ahead and catch that. 3wellnesspillars.com. You can hop onto my website. You can shop, see any blogs, whatever, and watch the podcast. Kate, tell me again where they can find you. It's probably kateadamsmedia.com.
Yes,
I remember. Okay. Yay. Okay, you guys, you can join me every Monday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio. Next week on April 15th, special guest Marcus Vetstein, he's an endocrinologist. We're going to have a two-part show talking about the stress mess, adrenaline and cortisol, friend or foe. Thank you, Kate. We'll talk soon. Bye, guys. That. Bye-bye. It was fun.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.